As we have seen, when a woman gives birth, she is obligated to bring two korbanos, two sacrifices, a korban chatos and a korban olah. And depending on whether she gave birth to a baby boy or a baby girl, she will be impure, she'll be tomei for either a week or 2 weeks, followed by either a period of 33 days for a boy or 66 days for a baby girl, during which, if she bleeds in a way that usually would make her tomei impure, during this period she would not become pure from that bleeding. Once those 40 days or 80 days are over, she is obligated to bring her two korbanos, and until she does so, she is forbidden to either eat the meat of a korban, which is considered to be holy and cannot be eaten by somebody who is not fully pure, and as well as that, she is forbidden to enter into the Beis HaMikdash, because although she is for the most part considered pure, she does still have a certain level of impurity which forbids her to eat the meat of korbanos or to enter the Beis HaMikdash. This puts her into the classification of a mechusar kapara, which we'll learn more about in the next perek. A mechusar kapara refers to somebody who has gone through a purification process, and this woman would have gone to the mikveh already at the end of the first week or 2 weeks, depending on if it's a boy or girl. She would have already been to the mikveh in order to purify herself. However, until she brings the sacrifices, the korbanos, which she is obligated to bring, she's not considered to be fully pure to allow her to eat the meat of a korban or to enter the Beis HaMikdash. And there are four different types of mechusar kapara, as we're going to learn about in the next perek. And a woman who has given birth is one of these mechusar kapara, which literally is translated as the fact that she is lacking the atonement of bringing the sacrifices. Now, another such person who is considered a mechusar kapara is a zova. A woman has an 18-day cycle. For 7 days of that 18-day cycle, if she bleeds, she would become a nida, which is an impure woman. And at the end of that 7-day period, she would need to go to the mikveh in order to purify herself. And if she bleeds during the next 11 days, if this occurs 3 times within those 11 days, on consecutive days, or even on the same day, she will become what is known as a zova gedoyla. This is a certain type of severe impurity that she has, and her purification process involves really 3 stages. One is that she needs to wait 7 days of not bleeding anymore. Once 7 days of not bleeding have passed, she needs to go to the mikveh. And the 3rd stage is bringing a korban, bringing a sacrifice to the in the Beis HaMikdash as a korban. Now, once she has gone through the 1st 2 stages, she's for the most part considered to be pure. However, concerning eating korbanos or entering into the Beis HaMikdash, she cannot do this until her korban has been offered up. Once again, she is classified as a mechusar kapara, somebody who is lacking that atonement which is brought about by the korban, and until that is achieved, she may not eat korbanos or enter into the Beis HaMikdash. Ha'isha sheyesh aleha sofek chomesh zivos. A woman who has 5 doubtful obligations of bringing sacrifices for being a zova. On 5 separate occasions, she became a zova out of doubt, and although right now she might be pure because she's gone to the mikveh, etc., she has not yet brought her korbanos, and there are 5 possible obligations over here to bring a korban in order to allow her to eat the meat of a korban or to enter into the Beis HaMikdash. Usfeik chomesh leidos, and in addition to this, she has also had 5 cases of a doubtful birth or miscarriage which would possibly obligate her to bring a korban, just like a woman who gives birth. And as we have seen over the past couple of Mishnayos, even out of doubt, she would bring a korban, a sacrifice, just that it would not be eaten. And the Mishnah says, "Mivia korban echod v'yicheles bazvachim," she would only be obligated to bring 1 sacrifice, in either of these 2 cases, either if she has 5 cases of a doubtful of being a zova out of doubt, or 5 possible births, in either case she would only need to bring 1 korban, v'yicheles bazvachim, and then she would already be permitted to eat the meat of a korban, and likewise to enter into the Beis HaMikdash. Although there are 5 possible obligations, since the purpose of this korban is in order to fully purify herself, so just like when one goes to the mikveh in order to purify themselves, even if they became tomei on multiple occasions, it's certainly enough just to go to the mikveh once, and you would be purified from all of the impurification that you have. So too, it's enough to bring just 1 korban in order to fully purify the woman. In addition, the rest of the remaining 4 possible obligations would not be an obligation upon her, and in fact, she should not bring any more korbanos. Since she's only obligated out of doubt, and she's already achieved the purpose of being able to be fully purified, she shouldn't bring any more korbanos, since anyway, if she's not really obligated, then we don't want her to bring a korban, because this would be an animal which should not actually be sacrificed as a korban in the Beis HaMikdash, which is something which, in a general case, is forbidden. Out of doubt, it's permitted in order to purify herself, but if she's already purified, then she should not be bringing any more korbanos. On the other hand, chomish leidos vadois, if she has had five definite births or miscarriages which would definitely obligate her to bring a korban, or chomish zibes vadois, five certain definite occasions of having become a zava, once again, mevia korban echod v'yichales v'zvachim, she would only need to bring one korban in order to be able to eat korbanos. However, even once she's brought that one korban and been fully purified by bringing that one korban, v'hashar aleha chayva, the remaining four korbanos would obviously be an obligation upon her. There's no reason why she shouldn't bring all four, just that in all five, just in order to be purified, it's sufficient just to bring one. Ma'aseh she'omdu kinim b'Yerushalayim b'dinrei zahav. It once occurred that pairs of birds which were sold in Yerushalayim for the sake of korbanos for a woman who gave birth, they became very expensive. A dinar zahav is equivalent to 25 silver dinar. That's a very large price, because the demand for this was very high. Amar Moshe ben Gamliel, Moshe ben Gamliel said, Hamo'in hazeh, which literally means this Beis HaMikdash. It's an expression of an oath. Lo'olin halayla ad shehu bedinarim, I'm not going to sleep tonight until the price of these pairs of birds which are being sold as korbanos will only be the cost of one silver dinar, which is a 25th of the current price of a dinar zahav, a golden dinar. And what did he do? Nichnas lebeistin v'limeid. He entered the court, the beistin, and he taught. Ha'isha she'yesh aleha chomish leidos vadois, chomish zives vadois. If a woman has five definite obligations to bring sacrifices for having given birth or for having been a zava, the law is that mevia korban echad, she only needs to bring one sacrifice for yocheles v'zvachim in order to be able to eat korbanos. Ve'ein hashar aleha chayva. And the remaining korbanos, which really she should be bringing, will not be an obligation upon her. Even though the Torah technically requires her to bring this, from Moshe ben Gamliel had the authority to decree that they would not bring those korbanos in order to lower the prices. And indeed, v'omdu kinim b'vayom b'rivosayim, the pairs of birds on that day were lowered to be a quarter of a silver dinar each, which is a 100th of the original price of a golden dinar. Just 1%. And the reason why Moshe ben Gamliel was so concerned is because the poor women would end up just not bringing any sacrifices at all, because they realized they couldn't bring five, let's say, so they just would say, we're not going to bring any, and we're going to continue eating the meat of korbanos or entering into the Beis HaMikdash. And so Moshe ben Gamliel preferred that they would bring the one korban which is necessary in order to purify them, for them to really be permitted to enter into the Beis HaMikdash and to eat the meat of a korban. So if the law would be that they would only ever have to bring one korban, then they would be particular about this, and they would not end up violating the severe prohibition of entering the Beis HaMikdash or eating the meat of a korban whilst in the state of impurity. There are four people who literally lack atonement. This means that they have completed their purification process technically, but they are lacking the last stage of bringing the sacrifice and of the korban which they are obligated to bring, and until they do so, they are forbidden to enter into the Beis HaMikdash or to eat the meat of a korban. In addition, there are four people who would be obligated to bring a korban in order to atone for their sin, even if they sinned intentionally, in the same way as if they had sinned unintentionally. In general, one only brings a korban chatos, which is the most commonly brought sin offering, if he violated a sin, an avera, by mistake. But there are four cases which the Torah prescribes such a korban in order to atone for his sin, even if he did it intentionally. Elohim mechusar kapara, who are the four people who are classified as a mechusar kapara, somebody who may not eat korbanos or enter into the HaMikdash until he brings his sacrifice. Hazov, a man who experiences certain substances exiting his body which would impurify him. The Hazova, a woman who bleeds three times during the 11 days within her cycle, which would make her into a Zova. Vaheledes, a woman who gives birth, Ametzera, and a man or woman who gets tsaras on their body, certain spots on their sins, which would also make them tomei, impure. And once they wait 7 days in order to become purified, they would still need to bring their korbanos before being able to continue eating the meat of a korban or entering into the Beis HaMikdash. The reason why the Mishnah splits a zov and a zova into two, whereas a metzora, even though it includes both a male and a female metzora, this is only counted as one, is because the laws of a zov and a zova are different, whereas a male and female metzora both have identical laws. Rabbi Yaakov says there's actually a fifth person who fits into the category of a mechusar kapara. Ger, a person who is converting to become Jewish, mechusar kapara, is considered to be lacking atonement, and it's forbidden for him to eat the meat of korbanos or to enter into the Beis HaMikdash, ad shizorik olav hadam, until the blood of his korban is thrown onto the Mizbeach. According to the Tanakhama, the first opinion of the Mishnah, this is not true, and he argue on the sources for this law. The Nozir, and in addition to this, says Rabbi Yezman Yaakov, a Nozir, who is somebody who accepts upon himself the three limitations of a Nozir. A Nozir is forbidden to drink wine or anything which comes from grapes. He may also not cut his hair, and he cannot become impure from dead bodies. Be as it may, at the end of his Nazirus period, he's obligated to bring Karbonis. And until he brings those korbanos, he remains forbidden with all the restrictions of a nazir, even though his period of nazirus has ended. It could be that he vowed to be a nazir for 30 days, and it's already been 35 days, but until he brings his korban, he will still be restricted by everything that a nazir is restricted by. So technically, he's also considered to be a mechusar kapara, just instead of it being in terms of not being able to eat the meat of a korban or entering into the Beis HaMikdash, he's considered a mechusar kapara, somebody who is waiting and until his korban has been offered up. He may not benefit from the following things. He may not liyeno b'siglata v'tumasai. He is still restricted in that he cannot have wine, cut his hair, or become impure from a dead body. The first opinion of the Mishnah agrees, however, he holds this is not considered to be a mechusar kapara because that only includes people who need to bring their korban in order to be able to enter the Beis HaMikdash or to eat a korban, as opposed to a nazir who is just restricted by the restrictions of a nazir. But he is permitted to eat the meat of a korban or to enter into the Beis HaMikdash. Mishnah Beis, Eilam Avin al Hazodin Kashagaga, the following people are obligated to bring a offering, a korban, in order to atone for their sin when they violate that sin intentionally, in the same way as they would be obligated to bring that korban if they violated the sin unintentionally, by mistake. This is unlike most sin offerings, a korban chatos, which is regularly only brought when a sin is performed by mistake. Number one, habal ha-shifcha, one who has relations with a non-Jewish maidservant who has been designated, which is similar to a marriage, but it's not quite halachically considered to be a regular marriage, with a slave. So once she has been designated to be with that slave, if somebody else has relations with her, he would be obligated to bring a korban oshom, which is a type of offering brought in order to atone for one's sin. And even if he did it on purpose, he would be obligated to bring that korban. The nozir shenitma, a nozir who became impure from a dead body, whether this is done on purpose or by mistake, once he goes through his purification process, he would be obligated to bring a korban, once again a korban oshom, which is a type of offering to atone for his sin. Number three, val shvuas edus, one who falsely swears that he is not a witness to a particular event, and later on confesses that indeed he was a witness and he could have given testimony. He is obligated to bring a type of korban chatos. And fourthly, val shvuas apakodain, somebody who falsely swears that he does not have in his possession something which belongs to somebody else. For example, if somebody asked him to watch over an item for him, and later on comes to claim it, and this person denies it, and he swears that he doesn't have anything. If he later admits that he actually swore falsely, he would be obligated to bring a korban asham, a offering in order to atone for his sin, and this would be the case even if he did it intentionally. He knew that he had the item, and he still swore falsely, and all of these laws are learnt from Psukim. Mr. Gimbal, in general, if somebody violates the same sin multiple times, as long as he became aware in between each time that he sinned, he became aware of the sin. But then again, he made the same mistake again, but it's considered to be separate mistakes, it's not based on the same one error. In such a case, he will be obligated to bring a korban to atone for each time that he sinned. However, chamisha mevi'im korban echad al averes harbeh, there are five types of people who would be only obligated to bring one korban to atone for those multiple sins. And in addition, there are five types of people who would be obligated to bring a korban oil of yoyred, which is a type of korban chatos, a sacrifice which is brought to atone for one's sins, for a particular sin. But whereas a regular korban chatos, the Torah fixes which animal needs to be offered up, and that is the case regardless of the wealth of the person who is bringing that korban. A korban oil of yoyred is a type of korban chatos whose the type of animal which is bought depends on how wealthy the person who is bringing it is. So first, the Mishnah lists Elam Avin Korban Echad Al Averes Harbeh. The following people would only be obligated to bring one sacrifice for multiple sins. If they repeat that sin multiple times, they would still only need to bring one korban to atone for all of them. Number one, Habal Ashifcha B'yos Harbeh, one who has relations with a non-Jewish maidservant who has been designated to be with and have relations with another slave. If a different person has relations with her, even multiple times, he would only need to bring one korban osham to atone for those sins. V'nozer shenetam tumas harbeh, a nozer who became impure multiple times, v'amakani le'ishtar al de'an osham harbeh, a woman who is warned by her husband not to be alone with a particular person, a particular man, it's forbidden for her to do so, and even if he warns her regarding multiple men, and she goes ahead and is alone with those men at separate times, that's considered separate averas, separate sins. However, she would only be obligated to bring one sacrifice to atone for all of those sins. Umetzershin is nagan goyim harbeh, somebody who got affected by tzara'as, certain spots on their skin which would make them tomei, impure. Even if he got multiple cases of tzara'as, even at different occasions, if he became fully cured of the tzara'as and then got it again, and he didn't yet bring his korbanos, and he's now got it multiple times that he was a metzora and became obligated to bring the korban, he would still only be obligated to bring one set of sacrifices to atone for all of those times that he was a metzora. Now, there are a number of stages in the purification process of a metzora, somebody who had this tzara'as on their body. The first stage involves a procedure of taking two birds, slaughtering one of them, and freeing one of them. And the later stage in the purification process is bringing three different types of korbanos: the korban chatos, the korban osham, and the korban oila. The Mishnah says, "Hevi tzipora v'nisnaga." If the metzora bought his birds and he went through that part of the purification process, but he hadn't yet bought the korbanos, and then he got tzara'as a second time. Now, based on what we just learned, he can bring just one set of korbanos at the end of him becoming pure from that second tzara'as, and bring the birds as well, and that would cover him for both occasions of tzara'as. Now, although that is the case, I could have thought that since he already began the procedure for his first occasion of tzara'as by bringing the birds, and at that point he had a particular wealth status, and the type of animals which a metzora brings as his korbanos depends on how wealthy he is. So I could have understood that since he began the procedure already from when he brought the birds for the first tzara'as occasion, the animals which he needs to bring for the korbanos later on will be determined by how wealthy he was when he brought the birds. So the Mishnah says that is not the case, rather loy aluloy, the bringing of the birds does not count in order to determine how wealthy he is, to determine which animals to bring based on how wealthy he is. Rather, according to the first opinion of the Mishnah, ad shyovies chatosai, it all depends on when he brings the korban chatos. That's considered to be the main korban of the metzora, and however wealthy he is when bringing that korban chatos, that is what would determine which types of animals he needs to bring as his korbanos. Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda says, ad shyovies shomai, the animals that he brings depends on how wealthy he is when he brings his korban osham, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, that is the primary korban that the metzora requires in order to receive his atonement, and therefore it depends on how wealthy he is when bringing that korban to decide which animals he needs to bring.